This evening, if you would open up your Bibles with me to the New Testament, the Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5 is where we'll be tonight. And in Luke chapter number 5, if you could look with me at verse number 17. Luke 5, 17. The Bible says this: "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he," speaking of Jesus, "was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Verse 18 says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him," to lay this man before Jesus. Verse 19 says, "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, Why reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. Verse 24 says, But that ye may know that the Son of God hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and he took that whereon he lay on, and he departed to his own house. And the last two words are what? Glorifying God. Verse 26, I'll end this with this verse. It says, And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. And they were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. What a day I'm sure that was back in that day. This story about these men who brought another man to Jesus. And when we really care about someone, we'll do whatever is within our power to help them, right? If they have a need, if we know someone and we really care about that person, if that person really has a need, they don't even have to think twice about asking for help because they know that we'll be there for them. You know, I was thinking about this message right before the service, and I was thinking my wife, you know, fits that example to a T. I take every opportunity I can to brag on my wife. And I don't know of someone that really goes out of her way to help others more than she does. Friendship is a commitment. A friend listens. A friend helps. A friend forgives. And most important, a friend cares about another friend's spiritual well-being. There are many verses in the Bible about friendship, but this passage here in Luke chapter 5 tells again of a beautiful story about friends, bringing a friend in need to Jesus. And as we read in the passage, this man was paralyzed. This man could not walk. This man could not get around in his own power. He was completely bedridden, but this man had friends who were pretty good friends, indeed. And friends that cared about him, friends that wanted to help him. And they believed, these friends believed if they could just get their sick friend to Jesus, that he would be healed. They already knew, as verse 17 said, they already knew that Jesus had performed many miracles. The power of God was very evident. So these four friends carried their friend on a mat to the house where Jesus was teaching here in Capernaum. And when they got there, the scripture says they found that they couldn't get through because of the multitude of people, because of the crowds. Jesus was in town. His reputation preceded himself. Jesus had been performing miracles that no one had ever seen. So you can imagine the people were lining up. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to be healed of their sicknesses and their infirmities. And these four friends are thinking of a way, how are we going to get past this crowd of people to get our friend to Jesus? And the Bible says, although they saw the obstacle of the crowd, they didn't give up. They came up with a plan. One, a plan that was bold, a plan that was daring. And the Bible says they took him up to the roof. They took him up to the roof. And they lowered him through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And I was going to demonstrate that tonight, but I don't think Pastor Rob would like it if we took off some of the planks off the roof here. So after this beautiful remodel, we don't want to mess with anything. And the point is this. The point is this, is that these friends in this passage demonstrated their friendship. How did they do that? They demonstrated how much they cared about their friend by what they were willing to do to bring this man to Jesus. These friends went to extraordinary measures to bring their friend to Jesus. And when Jesus saw what this man's friends did, Jesus saw their actions as an expression of their faith. And because of their faith, Jesus told the paralyzed man, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And that statement by Jesus might startle us based on the physical condition of this man. You might say, why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say, "Man, your sins are forgiven"? Why didn't Jesus say, "Hey, man, your legs are healed"? We've got to remember that man's greatest need is not physical healing. Man's greatest need is spiritual healing. Amen? It's forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Lord gave this poor, paralyzed man what he needed the most. He gave him spiritual healing. And it was due to his friends bringing him to Jesus and not letting anything stand in their way. And that's where we come in. Are we willing to do whatever is necessary to bring our family members, our friends, and others to Jesus for forgiveness, to be saved from an eternity in hell? Forgiveness of sins is the main need of every person. Here is this poor man lying now. He's been lowered through the roof, and he's lying in the midst of the crowd in front of Jesus. The Bible says this poor man is laying there helplessly. And in that day, they didn't have wheelchairs. They didn't have wheelchair ramps. They didn't have handicapped parking spaces like we do here. You know, they didn't have handicapped seating for this man to get close to Jesus. They needed to be creative to get this man to Jesus. So if this man couldn't get around, who did he depend on? He depended on his friends. This man couldn't earn a living except to beg. He wasn't receiving any kind of disability. How did this man survive? He was dependent on his friends and his family. Like in this passage, we read that he relied on others to carry him anywhere he needed to go. And I know sometimes when people get older, we all age and we get older and we get to the point that we need help. And sometimes older people, they need someone to drive them around to the grocery store, to doctor's appointments. Maybe they need someone to care for them at an assisted living facility. But that wasn't the case with this man. The help he needed was not due to his age. It was due to his physical handicap. And with that kind of physical challenge that this man faced in that day, day in and day out, our minds would probably lead us to think that this man's greatest need was physical healing. But Jesus corrects our thinking here. Before anything else, Jesus addresses his spiritual need. And for those of you that are here tonight that know this, those of you that are here tonight that have experienced this, you know that when you have your spiritual life on track, when you are focused on the Lord, somehow the spiritual takes care of the physical. The fulfillment of your spiritual needs, when you are basking in the fullness and you're basking in the goodness of God, when you're basking in the glory of God, it overshadows the physical. When you are focused on the Lord, it allows you to have a spiritual outlook on things, like I said, that greatly outweighs the physical things that you're going through. When you used to think, hey, I need more strength, I need more physical healing, if you're saved and you have Christ in you now says, God's grace is sufficient for me because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. When we used to think, hey, I need more money to solve my problems, money is the answer. I need more money. Christ in you now says, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, because all of my needs will be met in Christ Jesus. Although we as human beings, we have proven ourselves over and over to God to be an unfaithful people, we've got to remember that God has proven himself over and over again to be faithful. Amen? We've got a faithful God. And so I said all of that to say this, is that our greatest need is not physical. The Bible says through Jesus' words here that it's spiritual. And as Christians, we have to figure that out. And if we don't, there will be such a lack of peace in our life. And we're going to always be in a constant state of unrest in our life. Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven. To heal this man's body, I've got to admit, to heal this man's body would have made this man's life a lot more comfortable. But without healing his soul, this man would have died and faced God's righteous judgment. His greatest need was the forgiveness of his sins. Some might look at this poor man in this passage and they might say, hey, Pastor Rich, you know, maybe this man's greatest need was emotional healing. Because just imagine what this man would have felt like. I mean, he was totally dependent on other people for everything that he did. Just imagine what it was like for this man to lie in the streets and beg for food and ask someone to carry him here and carry him there. Can you get me this? Can you get me that? You know, Pastor, someone might say that this man, you know, needed someone to tell him that he was a worthwhile human being. He needed emotional healing. But Jesus didn't say, man, I want you to feel good about yourself. Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven. Because that would have brought emotional healing as well. Amen? People don't primarily need economic help. And I was thinking about this man here, and maybe somebody said, hey, maybe this man in this passage, yeah, he needs fit. Maybe he needs physical. Maybe he needs economic. Let's give him some government benefit. But Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven. People don't primarily need their marriages fixed. They primarily don't need their emotional problems solved. People don't primarily need economic help. People primarily need spiritual help to help fix their marriages, to help overcome their emotional problems and other problems. In summary, we need Jesus. Amen? We need the forgiveness of our sins. All other needs are secondary to our need of Jesus Christ in our life. As Jesus taught on another occasion, Jesus said, he said, what profit is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What profit is it to get all the physical healing and emotional healing and economic help and this? to gain the whole world and you lose your own soul. Jesus says, that's not going to do you any good. There's something much more important than having a healthy body and plenty of money, and that's having Jesus Christ in your life, having Jesus Christ rule your heart. And Jesus was teaching this man, along with his four friends and the multitude of people there that day, this lesson, that Christ comes first in your life. And to be honest with you, sometimes a severe problem, whether we go through a health problem, whether we go through an emotional problem, whether we go through a family problem, a financial problem, sometimes, to be honest with you, that can really be the best thing in the world for us. I've gone through all of the above in my life, and going through a health problem, for instance, several years ago, going through a financial problem, were times that I was made stronger. Not stronger physically, not stronger monetarily, but going through those trials made me draw closer to the Lord and made me spiritually stronger. So when we face those challenges today, I can again draw strength from the Lord because he's built up my inner man. He's made me spiritually stronger. And that's what Jesus wants to do. His main concern for you, like I said, is not to bless you physically in whatever physical or material way. He wants to build you up spiritually. Because like I said, he knows if he can do that, you'll gain victories in your life when other trials and challenges come your way. We're human. We don't like to go through trials. No one likes to have problems. But now I can look back. You know, I can look back now and I can thank God for them because I can see the spiritual strength that I gained from going through those trials in my life. And I'm sure you can do the same thing. I wouldn't go back and change anything. I wouldn't go back and change a thing. Later on, the man in this passage here that we're looking at tonight, he would have looked back on his paralysis and he would have thanked God for it, because if this man had never been paralyzed, if he had never been paralyzed, think about this, his friends would have never carried him to Jesus. And if his friends would have never carried him to Jesus, this man would have never heard these words, "Your sins are forgiven." The role of Jesus and the role of this man plays such an important part in this passage, but we can't ignore the role played by this man's friends to bring him to Jesus. These men were acutely aware of the opportunity that they had to bring their friend to Jesus. Jesus was in town. He was in Capernaum. Like I said, the place was flooded. The crowds were gathered around Jesus Christ, and his friends knew about the opportunity they had to bring their friend to Jesus Christ. Not only did they know about the opportunity, they knew about the power of God that was present. Look with me again at verse number 17 in the Bible. At the very end of verse 17, it says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And they knew that they could make a difference in this man's life if they brought him to Jesus." Bringing someone to Jesus, that's a way that you can serve the Lord, is by bringing someone to Jesus Christ. And God specializes in using people in unique ways, and this principle is illustrated in this passage here. These men carry the paralytic man to Christ. They just work to get this man to Jesus. And that's the truth that I'm praying tonight that the Holy Spirit will embed in our hearts, is that we can be like those men and our service for Christ can be a great testimony to the grace of God. We can work like these men to bring others to Jesus and see spiritual fruit. We've got to bring others to Jesus Christ. We've got to be motivated to bring others to Christ. The first truth I want you to see is just that, is that we see that these men were motivated to bring their friend to Jesus Christ. Jesus in the Bible is called the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life had gripped those men's hearts, obviously. And they had a deep conviction inside of them that must have inspired them to bring this friend to Jesus Christ. They were motivated to bring him. You know, man, if you have seen what Jesus Christ can do in your life, wouldn't you want the same thing for someone else, especially someone you love? To what length will we go to bring someone to Jesus? These guys wouldn't let anything deter them. In just 2 weeks from today, we have a special day at our church called Friend Day. It's coming up within the last Sunday in March, March 26th, and we've been asked to bring someone to church. A friend, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, a classmate, a business associate, you name it. Whoever God has laid upon your heart, bring them to church. Why? So they can meet Jesus. Because it will be here that they will hear the word of God taught, and they'll see the work of the Holy Spirit in action. Sure, just like the men in this passage, are we going to run into obstacles? These men ran into obstacles, like we said. They ran into obstacles, but they didn't let any obstacle deter them from bringing their friend to Jesus. I mean, are we going to run the obstacles that might deter us from asking people to come on Friend Day? Sure, but who's going to get the victory, you or your obstacles? Who's going to get the victory? You or your fears? Are you going to let obstacles stand in your way to bring someone to Jesus Christ? Are you going to be like these men in this passage and say, nothing is going to stop me from bringing this person to Jesus Christ? I want us to have that attitude. I'm not going to let anything stop me. Hey, if I have to invite them and I have to keep inviting them until they say yes, I'll do it. That's the attitude these guys had in this passage. Hey, if I have to call them the night before, if I've asked them and I've got to text them this week or I've got to email them this week, I've got to call them the night before and remind them, guess what? I'm going to do it. Hey, if I have to pick them up and I have to bring them to church just to make sure they get out the door and they show up here on Sunday morning, guess what? I'll do it. Hey, if I need to give up my usual pew chair and I need to sit someplace else where they feel more comfortable. Yeah, I know I like sitting in the front row, but they probably are terrified to sit in the front row. Well, guess what? I'll give up my seat. If I need to give up my seat and I need to sit in the back row with them, guess what? I'll do it. Say it with me. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Hey, if I need to take them to lunch after church, just as a good gesture, and just say, hey, thank you so much for coming to church today. Let's just go grab a bite to eat. I'll do it. If I need to carry them here, like those men in the passage, I'll do it. They did it. They were motivated to bring their friend to Jesus, and nothing was going to stop them. Oh, will we have the same attitude as the men in this passage? How motivated are you to bring someone to Jesus Christ? Are you as motivated as these guys? We can show it, like I said, by our actions. Jesus saw these men's actions as an expression of their faith, as an expression of their heart. You know, praise the Lord, I had some people like this in my life growing up that cared about my spiritual well-being. They invited me to church. They would call our house the night before church every Saturday night, remind us that they would come by and pick us up for church the next morning. They would sit next to us in church. They would take us to lunch afterwards every Sunday. They sacrificed some of their time for someone that they really didn't even know at first. And I stand before you today to tell you that this stuff works. The sacrifice you make is not in vain. I am an example of someone that has been the recipient of what we're talking about. And as a result, I got saved and my life has been forever changed. Don't underestimate what God can do through you. Don't underestimate what God can do through you on March 26th if you invite someone to church. Just the character of Jesus Christ should motivate us to invite someone to church. Jesus in this day, his presence, like we said at the end of verse, his presence was so, the presence of Jesus Christ in that day was so different than the presence of the religious leaders in his day. And, you know, in spite of the fact that they were standing room only, look with me again at verse number 17. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and there were doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And like we said in verse number 19, it talks about the multitude of people that were there. In spite of the fact that they were standing room only, in spite of the fact that the Pharisees were seated in their honored positions, and the Bible says there were doctors of the law that were present, these men had their PhDs in the Old Testament, I find it interesting that these four friends did not bring their friend to the Pharisees that were sitting, as I said, in the honored seats. They didn't bring their friends to the doctors of the law. And I was thinking about that. I was saying these men did not seek them out, but they sought out Jesus. Why is that? It's because Jesus was different from them. This was God that was robed in human flesh. The character of Jesus Christ should motivate us to bring people to him. The compassion of Jesus Christ should motivate us to bring others to him. The ministry of Jesus Christ, when you look at Jesus's ministry, you can see that he was moved with compassion upon people. He understood the hurts. Jesus understood the heartaches of those he was teaching, of those that he was helping. Jesus knew the old adage, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Hey, those men, they didn't take their friend to the Pharisees and the knowledgeable doctors of the law. They took their friend to someone who cares. And we've got to have that same spirit of service to bring our friends to Jesus Christ. Not only were these men motivated because of the character of Christ, by the compassion of Christ, but there was a spirit of service in them. They themselves had been changed, and now they had a desire to see someone else's life changed. And isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what the angels in heaven rejoice over? Hey, the Bible doesn't say the angels in heaven rejoice over how big your budget is, or how big your house is, or how big your church building is, or how big your life group is. You know, the Bible doesn't say that the angels in heaven rejoice over those things. But it does say this. It says all of heaven gets excited about when one sinner comes to repentance. That's what gets all of heaven excited, folks, is when someone comes to Jesus. You want to get heaven excited? You bring someone on March 26th and you let them hear the Word of God taught. You let the ministry of the Holy Spirit be at work in this place and let them have that opportunity to have their life changed. And if it is, that's what's going to cause excitement in heaven. Does God want us to just get saved and then just only sit and soak? Or does he want to see a spirit of service in us? Right. He wants to see a spirit of service in us. And I brought in a couple items to illustrate this. And don't worry, I'm not going to wash your feet. But I brought in my utensils that I usually use to wash my car. I brought in my sponge and I brought in my bucket of water here. And wait, aren't you thankful for the rain we got this afternoon? All I had to do was stick my bucket out there and do this. And it filled my bucket up in like 2 minutes. Anyway, you know, I was thinking about this sponge and how this sponge represents us and how the water in this bucket represents knowledge And I was thinking that we can come to church week after week, and we can soak in the knowledge on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, come back for life group on Wednesday night or during the week. We can keep soaking and soaking and soaking and soaking and soaking all this knowledge. And you know what? This sponge is a lot heavier now than it was before I got it drenched. And you know what? We can be so heavy with knowledge after coming to church week after week, month after month, year after year, and keep soaking it up. Man, I'm soaking it up. This is good, Pastor Rich. My microphone's coming off, Pastor Rob. And we can soak it up. But you know what? Are we supposed to just sit and soak? No. You know? And I was thinking about this sponge, and I was thinking, we've got to be able to release, just like this sponge needs to be able to release that water, we've got to be able to release that knowledge. And a great way for us to do that is for us to invest in others, share what we know with others. And we can do that even through our service to others. We pour ourselves into others. Just like I'm squeezing this water and I'm pouring it back in this bucket, we can be like that sponge and we can pour out what we've learned and how we've grown week after week, month after month, year after year. We can pour that into someone else. But you know what, folks? It starts by inviting someone to church. Just get them under the teaching of God's word. And what a great investment that would be. Jesus said this in Mark 10, 43 through 45. He said, "Whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be your servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but came to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Christ was all about service. He was all about ministering to other people. And when a church is truly effective, the people in the church will be completely caught up in the service of Jesus Christ, which includes bringing others to Christ. In verse number 18, look at it with me. In verse 18, it says, "Behold, the men brought into bed a man which was taken with a palsy." And then the next phrase there says, "And they sought means." They sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. That phrase there, "sought," indicates that they were trying to think through how they were going to get this man to Jesus Christ. And if you have a spirit of service, you are going to be persistent in reaching people for Christ. The friends of this man, they were determined to do whatever it took and whatever risk that it meant to get their friend in front of Jesus, and that included ripping off part of the roof. They probably ignored the protests of the crowd. They probably looked past the critical spirit of the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. They would not be deterred by obstacles. They would not be discouraged by others. They were persistent in their attempt to get this man to Jesus Christ. A spirit of service will cause you to be creative in reaching people. No doubt there were people that watched the creative attempts of this men and to get their friend really close to Jesus. And they thought to themselves, "Hey man, I'm all the way back here in the back. And look what they did. Look at the creativity they used to get their friend in the front row. Why didn't I think of that?" And I was thinking of that because there's a multitude of people there, and some of them probably thought that. They're like, "Why didn't I think of that?" And the answer is easy. Because these men arrived at this conclusion. And the conclusion was this, is that their friend and bringing their friend to Jesus meant more to them than anything else at that point in time. Seeing their friend come to Jesus Christ was very important to them. And because of that, they were forced to be creative because the need of their friend demanded it. Don't lose your creative zeal for bringing people to Jesus Christ. Don't be content. You might say, Pastor Rich, I've tried before in the past and I've been unsuccessful. Hey, don't be content to do what you've always done, because the old cliche says that if you do what you've always done, you will get what you've always gotten. These men knew, hey, I can't do this the standard way. It's not going to work. Let me be creative. Let me get out of the box. Let me get out of my comfort zone. Let me launch out into the deep. Hey, don't be afraid, as Pastor Dan's been preaching, don't be afraid to cast out the net, because you just might catch a big fish. Amen. And Satan, our adversary, wants to deter you. Maybe when you invite someone to come to church, they won't say yes. Don't give up. Jesus said, hey, if you're not catching fish on this side of the boat, what did he tell them? Try the other side. Be creative. Be creative. A spirit of service will cause you to be sacrificial in reaching people. And these men, I was thinking about that, these men sacrificed incredible time and effort to bring their friend to Jesus. Man, they probably gave up an entire day. They sacrificed time away from their family to do something spiritually significant in their life. And that's what it takes to do a great work for God. It takes people that are persistent. It takes people that are creative. It takes people that are sacrificial. Do you want to do something spiritually significant? Bring someone to church. Bring them to Jesus. It's interesting that they could not get the sick man to the Lord because of the crowd. And I like to think about it this way. They couldn't get the sick man to Jesus because of the crowd. And this thought struck me. You're either in one of these two parts of the crowd. We're either part of the crowd that is getting people to Jesus, or we're part of the crowd that's keeping people from getting to Jesus. So which part of the crowd are you? Are you part of the crowd that's bringing people to Jesus, or are you part of the crowd that's keeping others from getting to Jesus? I want to be part of the crowd that's bringing people to Jesus. Because you know what, folks? In the end, the blessings really abound when you bring others to Jesus Christ. There's a certain satisfaction, even though we're not looking for any personal blessings. I'm just telling you from a human experience that there is a personal satisfaction in getting people to Jesus Christ. I don't know anything quite like the privilege of being used to God to bring others to him. And I believe that's what's so special about this whole thing. And in this passage, we see two things take place at the very end of this passage. We see God's grace being displayed when someone is brought to Christ. The Lord saw the faith of these men, and he makes that startling statement. He says, man, your sins are forgiven. Look with me at verse number 20. It says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. They're forgiven. These people thought the miracle of healing, the miracle of healing the leper, the miracle of healing others of diseases, they thought those were great miracles. But these were nothing in the fact that God was extending his grace and forgiving sin. Not only is God's grace demonstrated here when you bring someone to Christ, but also God's glory is declared when you bring someone to Christ. Look with me at verse number 25 and 26. It says, and immediately he rose up before them. This is after this man. Immediately he rose up before them. And he took that whereon he laid and departed unto his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And it says, and they did what? Glorified God. They glorified God. So in the final analysis here in this passage, we see that not only did the man who was brought to Jesus Christ give glory to God, but everyone else there as well gave glory to God for the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were amazed. The Bible says they were literally astounded. They were speechless. They said, we've seen strange things today. They've never seen anything like it before, because this man was now a testimony to the grace of God, because his sins were forgiven and there was an undeniable miracle for the man to be walking. And again, that was a testimony to the power and to the glory of God. Friend Day is in 2 weeks, March 26th. I encourage you, invite someone, because you can see God work through you in an amazing way to bring someone to Jesus Christ. Amen.